Is anyone else just constantly worrying? I feel like it can't just be me, but I feel like worry should be my middle name. But I have recently discovered Cover My Bubble. Cover My Bubble are a family insurance company who started their business in memory of their daughter. When Lilybeth passed away, they didn't have any insurance and lost Emma's income into the family, which was very difficult. They are here to help families with affordable insurances such as life, critical illness, income protection, children's cover and bump cover. Yep, children can be covered too. Now Emma loves a question, so why not reach out to her at Cover My Bubble and let her help you. Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am your host, Lottie, and I am here to normalise normal parenthood and to show everyone that really, we're all just winging it. Join me and my amazing guests to make sense of the chaos and work through motherhood together. Hello and welcome back to Tits, Tums and All Things Mum. I am here with the lovely Libby today. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Getting over this... 1,000-day cough or whatever's going around at the moment, but apart from that I'm doing okay.
Yeah, I've still got the lurg with the cough as well. I laugh all the time at this because I'm sure 90% of my podcast episodes begin with me being like, got the lurg again, guys. Sorry about the nasally voice here. But I feel like as mums, you're just always ill.
Oh, it always just circulates, doesn't it? As soon as you get better, then one of the other kids gets ill. Yeah. And then it passes it down to someone else. And it's just never ending, never ending.
I know. I've literally downed a load of vitamins this morning. And I'm like, because I woke up this morning and I was like, right, I'm still feeling rubbish, but I don't want to have that mindset all day. I don't want to just wander around the house being like, oh, I feel crap. So I was like, right, I'm going to make the choice this morning to feel okay. Whether I do or not is a different story, but I'm just going to be like, okay, it's fine, I'm fine.
I love that. You feel like death, but you're like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay.
I'm good. Because I knew I had this podcast to do. My house, honestly, how do you tell when a mum is poorly? Look at the state of her house, because it just looks like Beirut in here. It's ridiculous. And that's how you know that I do the majority of the housework, because you can't see the mess behind me right now, but it is an absolute tip and I need to sort it out. So I was like, it's fine. I'm fine. I've got this.
I feel perfect.
It's all lies. Anyway, could you start by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, of course. So I'm Libby. I am mum to Anaya, who is football mad 10-year-old, and Blake, who is 2.5 years old. I, up until sort of 3 years ago, I lived the corporate life. So early mornings, late finishes, everything that sort of comes with it. And then during crazy COVID times, I was made redundant, and that was the best decision that was ever made for me, because I then decided, do you know what? I want to be a stay-at-home mum. That's what my heart, I really want to do that. And that's what I've done ever since. And I have my boy. And then up until about sort of 6 months ago, I thought, I need a bit more, but I still want to be around for the kids. So I started my own little business venture, and I bought the Mum Club in Reading. So that's part of the Mum Club franchise. And I now plan and host amazing, meaningful events for local mums in the Reading area. So yeah, that's sort of me in the last 3 years, really.
I love that. I love the Mum Club. I think it's such a good idea. I've been to loads of the Bracknell events, and that actually sold recently, the Bracknell one. And I was like, I'm in an R, and I was like, should I do it? And then I was like, no, come on, man. Like, I don't have enough time in my life as it is without adding another like thing to my plate. But yeah, it must be so fun planning the events.
Do you know what? I absolutely love it. Obviously, before taking this on, I was a bit nervous, and I started off just like you. So I used to go to the Wokingham events, and it was the lady who runs Wokingham that was like, oh, you know, how would you feel about owning a franchise? You'd be really good at it. Like, you know, is it something you'd be interested in? And do you know what? I put my heart and soul into every single event. And a lot of my mum friends, in fact, most of my mum friends, I've made through the Mum Club. So I know it works. Mm. I know that there's you know, there's people out there that are looking to make mum friends that are outside of those baby and mum groups, which, by the way, are amazing, and there's definitely a purpose for them. But there's no sort of events out there that are just focused on us mums. And I really sort of related to that because I love a chat and I really want to go in. And when I go to these, you know, when I see these mums at these events, and when I went to these events myself, you can talk about, you know, how annoying your partner is, or, you know, your kid being up all night, and the other mums get it. You don't have to explain yourself. You also don't have to sneak conversation in to songs and dances, and, you know, so I love what I do. I love being able to help other mums make friends and see their confidence grow by walking in alone and sitting next to someone and having, you know, an amazing chat for 2 hours. So yeah, I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I've definitely made some friends through it as well. So I absolutely love it. And we did one, and then we all went out after for cocktails. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, and everyone gets you, and everyone understands like what you're going through. And it's just like, it's so lovely. And I think mums definitely need that, like, relatability, you know, someone that can understand how difficult it is, because you could talk to someone who hasn't got kids, and they'll be there for you, but they'll never ever fully get how freaking hard it is.
No, and it's, you can't even describe how hard it is. It's so hard. And unless you're exactly what you said, unless you are a mum yourself, and you don't have to be the same, you know, even if you've got one kid, two kids, three kids, whatever, just having the mum and having been through the sleepless nights, sharing the load, the, you know, figuring out boundaries and who does what in the house, and the logistics of school runs and this, and it's overwhelming, and it's very hard to put into words just how stressful it is. So
yeah,
having mum friends is, to me, is key.
Yeah, and I think that's why a lot of people like lose non-mum friends, because they don't get it. And then you're trying to explain how hard it is and why you're kind of letting them down with like going out and stuff like that, or why you're not replying to their messages immediately. And you're trying to explain that, but they never, ever fully get it.
No, I completely agree. And I also think, like, as you know, your friendships change.
Yeah.
As you have kids and as you grow up, you know, your circle changes. And I think it's all about, I call it the low maintenance friends.
Yeah.
So the ones that don't care if you cancel five times in a row. Mm. They don't care if your house is messy, or they're not going to judge you for, you know, taking your kid out to eat twice in a day because you've just been rushing around and you don't have time to make packed lunches or whatever. Yeah. So I do feel like, yeah, it's, your friendships change, and having those friends that are mums are just the key to surviving.
Yeah, definitely. So how have you found motherhood? Because I think we've spoken about how difficult it is, but if we delve a little bit deeper, how have you kind of found it going into motherhood?
So this is a really interesting question for me, because I feel like I've had two very different versions of motherhood. So where I've got quite a big age gap. So I had my daughter when I was 25. So I look back at myself when I was 25, you know, nearly 11 years ago now, because my daughter's nearly 11. And I think, who was that crazy, you know, unstable, wild, like not child, but like young woman in her 20s, still trying to figure out herself, but also trying to be the best she could be to this little girl. And, you know, I feel like you care a lot more about what other people think, you know, the younger you are. And I do feel like 10, nearly 11 years on, well, I had my son 8.5 years later, but to this point, you know, how many ever years on, I do feel like second time round, I'm a calmer, more confident version of myself. So I feel like I found motherhood a lot harder when I had my first child compared to now, because, and you know, the anxieties and the worries and the self-doubt and all of that is still there. But I feel like I can handle it a lot better now, because I'm just, my priorities are different. I care what people think a lot less now. Yeah. I don't know if you feel the same, but
it's interesting you say that, is mine's the opposite way round. Like, I found the first time much easier. And like, I look back at myself, And I'm like in coffee shops with full face of makeup and my hair is all curled and I've got a nice outfit on. And I'm like, what the hell? Who is this girl?
Who was she?
Because now I like scrape my hair in a mum bun and just quickly whack a little bit of mascara on or something. And I'm just like, I don't have time for that anymore. So I don't know what happened with me. Mine's the opposite.
But are your kids quite close in age?
Yeah, 2 years apart.
Ah, see, because where mine are so far apart, yeah. My daughter's in the school.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of living that first time mum life again, because it is me and my son, you know, alone in the, well, not alone, but, you know, it's us two sort of hanging out in the day like it would have been with me and my daughter back then.
Yeah.
So I think maybe, I don't know,
a more confident person. So it's like you're living that first time mum life, but as a more confident, you know, together person, I guess.
Yeah, 100%. But then obviously with that comes huge mum guilt, because then I think to myself, why was I not this person back then? Yeah. And I know you can't change the past and you can't turn back time and, you know, everything like that. But I do think to myself, oh, if only I was this person to my daughter, because I feel like she probably would have needed it more.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe it's just my brain and overdrive as usual. But no, that's just,
I get that, because I have mum guilt about my son, because with my daughter, my eldest, I took her to all the clubs, like we did all the cute activities, especially through like lockdown and stuff. I helped with her like learning and development, but with my son, he's just ended up being like dragged along to everything
her,
like dragged on the school run, dragged everywhere. We didn't really do classes because of COVID. The only class that he's done is swimming lessons and he hates that, so that's great. But I feel that mum guilt as well, because I've parented both of them very differently.
I think everyone, like, I've had this conversation with so many of my friends, and the main thing that comes out of it is you're trying your best.
Yeah,
you are trying your best, and that is all you can do. And if your best is not good enough, then what more can you physically do in that situation?
Yeah, exactly. And how do you think motherhood has kind of affected your mental health and your confidence?
So apart from the physical confidence, you know, your body is the opposite of how it was, you know, how before you had kids. You know, I look in them, I mean, and I do feel like as years go on, you care a lot less. Mm. So, you know, like I said before, but you still do look back at pictures and you're reminiscing about that old body and, you know, oh my gosh, whose boobs were they? And, oh wow, like I've had 2 C-sections now.
Mm.
So, you know, I've got that C-section shelf, I call it.
You know, it's just a C-section thing. I think it's
really
just because I have it as well and I've not had any C-sections.
Oh, I thought it was just a C-section. I was like, damn it.
I've got it as well. It's like this little like overhang over like the top of like pubis area.
Yes.
Like an overhang that's exactly just there. And like no matter how much weight I lose, it's just still there. And I'm like,
it's horrible because I like in some bikinis or swimming costumes, if you're on holiday, if I stand from the side, you can actually see the, like, I think mine's like the scar tissue.
Yeah.
So it's like rock hard and you can see it. And I mean, it is what it is. I've you know, I've had open stomach surgery with both of my children, unplanned. So, you know, it was out of my control, nothing I could have done.
Yeah.
It is what it is. But I feel like apart from all the physical stuff, oh my gosh, the mental side of it, it's the constant, like we talked about earlier, the mum guilt, the not knowing if you're doing your best. My biggest thing is wondering, like, is are my actions going to be what causes my daughter, mainly my daughter I worry about because my son's so little, are my actions going to be causing my daughter to be talking about this in therapy in years to come?
I literally think that all the time. I'm like, great, she's going my to therapy, gosh. Excellent.
Yeah. But every time I tell her off or I, you know, raise my voice or I, you know, speak how I wouldn't like to be spoken to or whatever, that's it. The mum guilt sets in and it's constant. So I do feel like it's affected, you know, there's obviously physical stuff like the sleepless nights and all of that, which is part and parcel of becoming a new mum and all of that. And it's horrific. Like it's all of that is horrific, but it's just the long lasting effects of never being able to shut down, never being able to just chill. There's always something rattling around, not even one thing, a thousand things are rattling around in your brain, especially if you are the default parent, which, you know, I don't want to generalize here, but quite a lot of mums are.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So, I've had so many podcasts about being the default parent, because I think it's probably one of the hardest things about motherhood. And I always say, yeah, it's not a generalization, because I do know a few dads that are the default parent, especially like now that my daughter's at school, you do see the dads that are doing all the school runs and, you know, all of the kind of care, because the mum is the one that's gone back to work. But generally speaking, it is the mum, and it's really freaking hard. And I was really talking hard to one of my friends the other day, like, I would love for a week for my husband to have to walk in my shoes entirely, not just look after the kids like he does regularly, but actually be in my brain and have to think like, right, I need to book the opticians, I need to book the dentist, I need to do this, I need to do that, I've got to pay for that school trip, I've got to, like, I've recently had to apply for the code to get the 30 hours free for Bailey's preschool, and that was so freaking complicated. And I had to do that, I had to then take the code to the preschool, all the school projects and stuff. So I don't want him to just walk in my shoes physically, as in look after the children. I want him to know exactly what's in my brain every day, all day.
You want him to feel it.
Yeah.
To feel everything.
I want to bottle feel that it. Feeling and give it to him. And be like, this is why I'm a stressy, aggy mess that doesn't want to have sex with you every night.
My partner and I have talked about this quite a lot, and I don't want to, you know, sit here and bash him, because, you know, he cooks, he cleans, he's so good at so many things.
Yeah.
But we've had a conversation. So he's, I obviously say, oh, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And he sort of made the point, and he said, but if I try to do it, you wouldn't like me doing it my way.
Yeah.
And that really sat with me. And I was like, that's actually a very good point. Am I a control freak?
Yeah.
Do I just want things done my way? And that, you can't make people do things your way. That's not how life is. You know, if you worked in an office, you couldn't say, right, everyone, you know, come in at this time and this is, you start this and you do your emails first. Yeah. And that's just not how life is. So I am like, have we made the problem?
I know. I do wonder that default parents as well. Because my husband's the same. He's great, like really great with the kids. He does stuff around the house, which is a lot more than I can say than some of my friends' partners.
Yeah.
He's really great, but he'll never know the struggles of being the default parent. Having said that, I do all of the stuff, but there is a but. There have been times where he has taken jobs off of my shoulders. So, for example, I always pack the swimming bags at the weekend for Bella's swimming lesson. I asked him, I delegated, I was proud of myself. I was like, for once,
go you.
Go me. But I delegated packing the swimming bag to him. So off he goes to pack the swimming bag. Anyway, he takes Bella off to swimming and I get a phone call saying, oh my God, I forgot to pack her swimsuit. So she's not going swimming. And I was like, one fucking job. I gave you one job out of my whole mental load and you didn't do it right. And then like a few weeks later, I plan the meals for the whole week. We have like a meal planner board thing and I go through the recipe books, put the meals on, write the list. I asked him to do it one week and I was like, again, go me, proud of myself for like delegating. Anyway, he missed a few of the days off. He didn't write some of the ingredients down for some of the recipes. And I was like, one fucking job. And I was like, this is why I do it all, because when I delegate it, it goes wrong and I end up doing it anyway. So I don't know if there is some element of like the reason we are control freaks is because we like it done properly. Or it's so
what came first,
difficult, isn't it? Like, who knows?
I know. It's like exactly like you said, like, is it us? Is it them?
Yeah.
Is it both?
Yeah.
I don't even know anymore. All I know is I'm stressed all of the time. All the time.
Yeah. I don't think we will ever know either. Like, I think the only thing we can do is communicate and just say to them, this is what I have in my brain. If there is anything that you can take off of that list without fucking it up, please do.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, take that off my plate.
And you'll probably fuck it up anyway, but yeah, exactly. I'm gonna give you the opportunity anyway.
Yeah, but honestly, like, I don't think anyone will ever fully understand what it's like to be in a mum's brain. And I'm sure that people without parents think that we're like dramatic and like oversensitive and things like that, but they'll just never know.
And do you know what I really like? This is, I feel like, or you know, all of these like relatable TikTok things that are coming out at the moment, they've been around for years, but you know, all these videos that are coming up about, you know, default parenting and mum rage and all of that. Mm. I love them because for so long, I thought it was just me that was crazy. And actually watching all these videos and all the people commenting, you're like, oh, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
I'm actually not alone. Like everyone feels the same way I do. Everyone sees things the same way I do. And, and oh my gosh, it's so nice to feel like you're not the only one.
Yeah, yeah, I love them too. And I love the passive aggressive digs at the husbands as well. Because I'm like, that's what I feel like I want to do in my brain. But it's really difficult because they are still great husbands and like great around the house and great with the kids and stuff. It's like we're being ungrateful, but I think we just want them to understand, really, don't we?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Massively.
So how have you kind of managed to build your mental health and your confidence back up since having kids?
So again, with this question, I feel like it's taken me a while to get to where I am now. But I think the key is just do the things that you love. Do the small things that you love. If it was, you know, and they don't have to be expensive things. They don't have to be crazy lavish things. You know, if like for me personally, it brings me joy to put on a nice little outfit and, you know, put on a bit of, I call it soft day glam. It's minimal makeup, but just putting that bit of concealer on, you know, filling in my eyebrows and leaving the house. Honestly, my outlook on everything is different than if I don't do that, you know, especially if, you know, predominantly I'm a stay at home mum, so I'm home all day with the kids. So for me, it's like, do the small things you love. And remember, like, you're not just a mum, you know. Before you had kids, you know, you were so much more. You're a daughter, you're a friend, you're a partner, you know. And if you don't have a partner, you know, you're all sorts, you know. There's you have so many sort of, you know, elements to you, so like nurture those parts as well. So I've recently booked a girls trip to Dublin, my first trip away from my son. Obviously my daughter's a lot older, but my son, and you know, I'm so nervous about it. And but it was like something that was on the cards for ages, and my friends were like, let's do it, come on, like, and we've bit the bullet and we've done it. And you know, I think doing things like that, spend time with your friends, spend time with good friends, you know, the low maintenance friends that I was saying earlier, you know, because the older you get, surround yourself with good people, because when you're in those low moments, it's those solid non-judgmental friends that you really need to be supporting you. And, you know, if you're feeling rubbish, if you're feeling low, get out of the house, leave the house. Don't stay in that state of, you know what you were saying at the beginning when you were like, right, I'm going to get up and I'm, you know, be positive and try your hardest to have that mindset, because, you know, I've had days and weeks where I don't have that mindset and it just, you know, it just builds up and you're just overwhelmed and it's just, it's horrible.
Yeah, you end up just spiraling, don't you? You just, when you're feeling low, you know the things that you need to do to make it better, like exercise, eating healthily, get outside, all of that stuff. But those are the last things that you want to do when you're feeling low. But then if you don't do them, you just spiral down further. So you almost have to just force yourself to do them, like me today, getting out of bed and being like, right, we're okay, we're good, we're gonna just crack on. And like, I put my happy playlist on this morning. I wasn't feeling happy. I was feeling like shit, but I was like, I'm gonna just pretend, and then it'll eventually get there. But it's so hard, isn't it? But very jealous of your holiday, though.
Oh yeah, I feel like it's very needed, you know, especially being with the kids the whole time. And I love being at home and being able to spend as much time as I do with them, and I'm very grateful that I can do that. But being away with the girls for 3 days.
Me and my friends have been planning going to Santorini for a long time, but my friends keep popping babies out and I'm like, will you stop? I need a holiday. One of my friends had a baby 8 months ago and I'm just waiting for her to finish
breastfeeding. She's going to a year. And now my other friend has just had a baby like 3 weeks ago. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell. Come on, guys.
You're like, girls, you're ruining the girl plans. Can we just stop now?
Can we just stop? The babies out now, please. Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, I'm in desperate. I've not had a girls' holiday before. Not abroad, anyway. I've been for my hen do and stuff, which was in Brighton. But I've not been away with the girls, so I'm like, I need to go.
Right, your New Year's resolution for next year is to book a girls' holiday, because there is, honestly, it is like medicine to me, yeah, to be with the girls sometimes. You know, obviously family life's amazing as well, and there's, you know, your feelings for different parts of your life, don't, yeah, you? But being with my girls and laughing nonstop and, yeah, being around people that you're really comfortable with.
Yeah.
Obviously the bigger social situations are great as well, but you know, the people that really get you, and yeah, you can just be yourself, your crazy, crazy self unapologetically, and they won't judge you. Yeah. And they're like, no, oh, it's just Libby and, you know, being, yeah, crazy again or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And there's just nothing like it. I'm really excited.
I've got a Butlin's Big Weekender in September, and I'm really excited for that. That is going to be so fun. It's like a 90s weekend. So that I'm going to be unapologetically crazy and wild at that. So it's going to be so much fun.
Is that child free, or are you taking
child
the kids?
Child free. Jeez.
And love it's that.
It's like a party weekend. So you go.
Oh, amazing.
And, yeah. You dress up in your 90s clothes and it's child free. So very excited for that. But yeah, I need to get abroad and just like be on a beach with the girls and just sipping my margaritas and living my best life. But
and also not having anyone need you.
Yeah.
You know, like you can just lie there and, you know, be bored if you want, or read a book or chat or people watch, and not have anyone going, mummy, 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 mummy.
Oh, the dream. The dream.
The dream.
It would dream. Be
just
amazing.
The 3 days. Just the 3 days. The dream.
Yeah. 3 days is perfect. Like I was just saying earlier, I had a bed day yesterday because I was so poorly. And I haven't ever had a bed day in motherhood, like at all. Like my eldest is 5 years old and I've never had a bed day, but I felt like I needed it yesterday. And it was so nice to just be laying in bed, watching maths and just dying in bed. I was so poorly.
Silently.
I was like, this is nice. Like I watched about 6 episodes of maths as well, which would never happen.
Yeah, normally you'd probably get through half an episode, probably fall asleep before bed.
Yeah.
But now you had like a good old chunk of time to really, really get in there. I love that.
It was great. So if you could explain the mental load to someone who isn't a mother, how would you do that?
Oh my God, where do I begin? How would I always say that I feel like I'm just keeping my head above water. You know, it's that feeling of like the water's like, you know, gushing into your mouth and you're always just treading water, just trying to keep your head afloat. And
yeah,
I don't know, the best way I could probably describe it is imagine you are swimming against the current, the strongest current you can think of. And just when you think you're nearly at the shore, you're like, oh, wow, I'm nearly there, nearly finished my list, or nearly, you know, whatever, the washing pile, that massive wave comes over you and just pushes you further out. Mm-hmm. And that is just the only way I can describe it. It's a constant state of, and these are just the negative parts, okay? Obviously, there's so much. I feel like I'm a real anti-poster right now for motherhood. And that, you know, we're just having like a real conversation, but I feel like it's a constant state of overwhelm, of anxiety. It's that I often like open my eyes in the middle of the night and I'm like, oh my gosh, that school form that I haven't filled out, does that mean an A, I can't go on that school trip?
Yeah.
Or, you know, oh my God, I forgot to do this. And it's the constant like your brain pinging and just not being able to shut down. So that's the only way I can describe the sort of like stresses of motherhood. Obviously you've got all the, you know, the amazing stuff as well.
Yeah.
But the stress, the mental load of motherhood, that's probably the best way I could describe it.
I feel like we're constantly striving to get through the to-do list, but someone actually said once that your to-do list will only be finished when you're dead. And like, as soon as you just accept that and accept that you're never going to get to the end of your to-do list, you're just like,
never.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm just going to do what I can today.
It's a never ending list of things to do. Like, even, you know, I always break it down in my head. Like, you've got the kids stuff, then you've got house stuff, yeah. then you've got extra stuff like the car and activities, and, you know, it goes on and on and on. Yeah. And I look round sometimes, like every summer around April time when the weather gets a bit nice, I always like start doing my garden. So, like, yeah. I'll get new flowers and, you know, mow the lawn and all of that. But still, I will look around after I've done everything and I'll still be like, that needs fixing.
Yeah.
That needs doing. That needs painting. And that's after me really dedicating like a big chunk of time to one thing.
Yeah.
So that's just the same for motherhood. It's like you think you're doing, you know, enough and you're plowing through your list. And some days are way more productive than others. And then you'll get a load more things put on your plate.
Yeah.
But actually, things that aren't maybe even related to motherhood, that's just stopping you from doing the, you know, the stuff that you really want to do.
Yeah.
But I do feel like prioritizing stuff and not sweating the small stuff is really important. I think men are quite good at that.
Yeah.
They just do what they need to do. They don't sweat the crazy little things.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that helps as well. But
yeah,
it's although stressful.
You say that. When have you seen that reel going around recently of me when I've got friends or family coming over and you're like tidying the house, but yeah. the husband's yeah, yeah. like topping up the dishwasher salt or like mowing the lawn or cleaning out the shed,
doing a really pointless task.
It's like my husband does that all the time. Like, the house will be an absolute shithole in the evening and we do our like evening reset once the kids are in bed, and I'll be like doing the dishwasher, you know, putting the toys away, and he'll start like cleaning out under the sink or like topping up the dishwasher, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, it's 9 o'clock at night.
What are you doing?
We need to go to bed. And you're like, what are you doing? So I think they sometimes struggle with their like prioritization.
I think we are wired very differently.
Prioritization, because of working in ICU, like I have to know what needs to be done first with a patient to like save their life, basically. So that's almost like transferred into like motherhood. Like, what do I need to do first? It's like the whole plastic and glass ball thing. Like, you've got all your balls. Some of them are glass, so if you drop those balls, they're going to smash, as in it's going to cause big consequences. But if you drop the plastic ones, they're not going to smash. You can just pick them up again and do it at a later date. So you've got to recognize which ones are your glass balls. So like feeding your children, for example, or like deadlines for forms and things that have got to be in for school, like applying for the 33 hours and things like that. Like, if you weren't to do that, you wouldn't get your 33 hours. So it's a big thing. So it's kind of about thinking about it that way.
Yeah. And I also think as well, just not putting so much pressure on yourself as well. Mm-hmm. So again, this is something that I've, you know, it's taken me a long time to learn. So my eldest is 10, and you know those school emails that you get, you know, and they normally give you about a week's notice.
Yeah.
A week's notice, and they'll say, you know, oh, it's World Book Day next week. Please make sure your child's got an outfit. But also, don't worry if your child hasn't got an outfit.
Yeah.
But by that point, your child's on the phone to all of her friends or, you know, whatever in school, you know, discussing outfits. And there's a lot of pressure on us mums to make sure that they've got everything they need. But I do feel like it's something that I've let go as the years have gone on. So Red Nose Day this year, I was like, we're just not going to buy a red nose this year. We're just not. It got to the night before, my daughter was like, I haven't got a red nose. And I was like nothing I can do. I can't leave the house at 10 o'clock at night or whatever it was to go and get you a red nose. We're just going to have to survive without a red nose. And lo and behold, none of her year, barely anyone had a red nose.
Oh, really?
So I feel like everyone's just, you know, as the years go on, everyone's just like, I don't need to bend over backwards and break my neck to do these things to not outdo each other, but to prove it to yourself. I'm a good mum because my child has the best outfit.
Yeah.
For, you know, I think it's just like, as long as we love our kids and we do what's right by them, what more can we do?
My mum was definitely that mum. Like, she definitely wanted to outdo everyone else. Like, I remember for World Book Days or for something, there was something that we had to go to school in a costume for. And my mum built me a Mr. Blobby costume out of paper mache. Like, she paper mache'd a exercise ball
cut arm and leg holes out of it. And
wow.
I went to school as Mr. Blobby. I don't know how I didn't get bullied for that, but anyway. And then for my brother, she made a Noddy car out of paper mache. And he went as like Noddy sat in a car. So like the car was strapped over his shoulders. And then another year I went as a butterfly. So she made big like wire butterfly wings with like net all wrapped around them. So my mum was definitely that mum that wanted to outdo all of the other mums. And I think I've almost been hardwired to be that mum as well. And subconsciously, I'm always like, right, we need to do a really good outfit. Like, it needs to be amazing. Yeah. And now I'm like, I just can't. Like, I can't do it. And World Book Day this year, my daughter's school, they weren't allowed to dress up. And then my son's school, my son won't wear fancy dress. He refuses. I think it's like a sensory thing. So
yeah.
Neither of them had to dress up. And I was like, cool, that's great. That's,
I bet you were like,
and relax. And I'm seeing everyone stressing on Instagram about their World Book Day costumes. And I'm like, it's great.
It is a lot of pressure though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially if, like you say, you've been hardwired to, yeah, you know, be that person. And you, I mean, you know, some people have, well, you know, you work in ICU and you do this and you're, you know, you're a mum as well. It's like, we don't have the time.
Yeah.
We do not have the time. And, you know, even though I might not be in an office, you know, 5 days a week or whatever, yeah, I still don't have the time. Mm. You know, I have other things that I need to be doing. And
yeah,
it's, you know, and there are some things that I have made the effort for and I do enjoy, but things like running out, you know, the night before Red Nose Day at 10 o'clock at night to get a red nose.
It's not one of them.
I draw a line. I actually contemplated it. I did contemplate it. I thought, my brain was like, oh, should I? And then I was like, Libby, no.
Yeah.
No.
Just don't do it. But there is so much pressure on us. And we were speaking earlier about, are we putting this on ourselves? But how do you think we can start to share the mental load?
I feel like that's still a work in progress, isn't it? It's, yeah, like, how will we ever share that mental load, but also be happy with how it's been done when we share it? Yeah. I feel like at home, it's, you have to share it, and whatever way it's done, you just have to accept it. You have to let them do it their way, and it might not be what you think is the right way, but it's their version of the right way. Mm. And in the grand scheme of things, is it harming anyone if, you know, they're dressed in the wrong outfit? Or
yes,
okay, the swimming costume thing that harmed many people.
Yeah.
but do you know what I mean? It's just, yeah, you know, delegate the small jobs that you don't mind. You
that
know,
they can't fuck up.
Done. Yeah, and also like with your basically, yeah, and with your friends, I think ask for help.
Yeah.
And I know it's a lot of people, me included, by the way, I find it really difficult to ask for help. But I have been blessed with the best with my best friends. And we are really good at not taking no for an answer.
Yeah.
So, you know, over the years, there's been things that have happened, you know, bereavements and, you know, breakups, mm, and, you know, just horrible, like life things that have happened. And we will swoop in and just be like, we are doing this for you.
Yeah.
We are taking your child for the day while you can rest or you can sleep or whatever.
Yeah.
And if you have a friend that is a new mom or, I don't know, is struggling with the, you know, the load at the moment, physically take a job off their hands.
Yeah.
Don't just offer, because people don't accept help, me, yeah, included. So I'm talking about myself and, you know,
yeah,
and I feel like, just talking to other mums, sharing how you feel actually makes you feel so much lighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why these events that I run, some of these mums have come in completely on their own.
Mm-hmm.
They literally don't know anyone and they literally walk out with loads of new mates, and they message me afterwards and they're like, thank you so much for that. I feel so much better. Like, it's so nice to share my experiences with other mums, yeah, and like just sharing how you feel. There's no better feeling. What's that? I don't know what that phrase is, but it's like, what is it? A problem shared is a problem halved.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Or whatever. True. So it's so true. It's like, you just feel so much lighter having talked to people, your partner, your friends, your mum, your dad, whoever's your person or your people. I think just talk.
Yeah, definitely. I'm forever voice noting my besties with like little rants, and I'm like, rant incoming, so that if they don't have time to listen to it, they know that it's just me like getting it off my chest. I had to do that so many times. Like when my friend had her baby, I literally just went to her house, took her baby, and I was like, right, go in the shower now. Get in that shower, because she hadn't showered for like days, but wouldn't allow herself to do that. She felt guilty for going in the shower.
Guilty.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
that.
I was like, no, you're going in the shower. You're going to take your time, and I'm just going to be here. And if she needs a feed, you can come and feed her and then give her back to me and you can go back again.
That's exactly what you need to do. You need to almost be like forceful with your help, because you know, people don't naturally accept help. I don't think it's part of our DNA to show that you're, I mean, it's not a weakness, but to show that you're not coping, or you're, you know, you're not doing things the way it should be done.
Yeah.
And it's not a weakness to ask for help. And actually, if anything, it does you and the people around you the world of good by you just being upfront and honest about how you feel.
Yeah, definitely. I think if more people were kind of like that with their friends, that we might sort of get that village feeling back again. Because that village, where's the village? There's no village. I'm very lucky. I do have my mother-in-law who is very present with the kids. And I do have friends as well. But some of my friends don't have any family, and we only have each other, kind of thing. So, we need our village back.
We really do. And they say it takes a village, but then if you don't have a village, what do you do?
Yeah.
Like what do you do? So it's a hard one. And I just think you need to find those, like I said, you know, find those low maintenance friends and hold on to them and nurture those relationships and those friendships, because they're the ones that are going to, you know, pull you out of a deep, dark hole if you ever get into one.
Amazing. Well, on that note, could you finish by telling us where we can find you on social media?
Yes. So I am at the Mum Club Reading. Mm-hmm. So I post all of my event information, some relatable TikTok vibe videos on there, things that are going on in the local Reading area. I just want to connect local mums, to be honest, and help build that confidence postpartum and during pregnancy. Because it's a lonely world out there. So I feel like, you know, the Mum Club Reading really helps with building that confidence with mums.
Yeah, amazing. Okay.
Building that community.
Yeah.
Community.
Love it. The community vibes. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It has been lovely talking to you.
Oh, thank you, Lottie. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. As always, could you please subscribe, download, and leave a review? And I would absolutely love it if you could share my podcast with your friends. I'll see you for the next episode.